And welcome to this edition of Money Matters, your community economic forum. My name is Mark Cuniberti. Today is show 317, entitled A New Hope, The Resiliency of America. Before we begin, please remember discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Indices that I may mention today are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. Past performance is no guarantee of future results, and investing involves risk depending on the types of investments. There may be varying degrees of risk. Investors should be prepared to bear loss, including total loss of principal, but we hope not. The views expressed are my opinions only. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff members, or underwriters, and I hold California insurance license OL34249 and am a Medicare agent for California. Money Matters is about money, as money does matter, and matters of money affect us all in some way or another. Whether you have a lot of it, a little of it, or none of it, it controls our economy, our country, our planet in some way or another. It controls the very way we live our lives. It's about your money, your lack of it, or abundance of it. It's about our lives and livelihood. In short, Money Matters is about you. Money Matters is carried on about 66 radio stations nationwide. And I write for about a half dozen newspapers. So thanks for joining me. Mark Cuniberti here at the controls. So the Dow... The disconnect is palatable, for sure. Dow hit a new high. It hit 30,000, a major milestone, 30,000. So what do you say about that? Well, we always talk about these big numbers. Our supports are resistance levels. In other words, when we're in the 29,000s, 28,000 below it is what we call support. So to blow down through a big number, support level, to blow up through a big number, let's say we're sitting at 28,500, 28,000 below us would be a support number, and 29,000 above would be resistance. What that means is the markets sometimes have trouble getting through those, falling through support or breaking through resistance. There are a lot of other numbers that the technicians look at that are minor support levels and major support levels, but the thousands are usually regarded as major support levels. In other words, 29,000, 28,000. The big numbers are the 10,000s, because there's only been three of them, 10,000, 20,000, and 30,000. And we broke through 30,000, and now we have dropped down below where we're right running around 29,800, 29,900. So the great rotation has been taking place, the rotation out of the stay-at-home stocks until a term that I coined, which was into the get away from home stocks. The stay of home stocks are all the things that we utilized while we were in shutdown, of which we are in shutdown again. And the get away from home are the recovery stocks. So if we had come out with a vaccine, the recovery stocks might be something like the cruise ships or the airlines or the hotels. Not a recommendation to buy or sell, of course, any security, but kind of give you an idea. The stay at home stocks, well, what do people do when they stay at home? Zoom might be one of them. Not saying that these rotations are going to be absolute and they will positively take place. No. But this rotation, when rumors of a vaccine would come out, I would see that. I would say, wow, the stay-at-home stocks like Costco and the spice companies, because people cooked a lot. The packaged food companies and Hormel and Campbell's Soup and Zoom and some of the Netflix securities. They were running while we were stuck at home, and then a rumor of a vaccine would come out, and they would fall, and then we'd see the Caterpillar run, and we'd see, the Emerson Electronics, the theme park start to run. So there's the stay-at-home play and the get-away-from-home play. And then, of course, we had a contentious election, and we have more COVID now coming, a resurgence, more cases than ever. And although we did shut down the first time around, California's back in purple, not deep purple like the band, but purple. And interestingly enough, they say it's the most restrictive type of shutdown. But we are still allowing salons and gyms to remain open. And if I recall, in some counties, during the most restrictive time, we made gyms and salons shut down. So we're probably not on the worst it could be. But I know some counties are not allowing gyms and salons. So here we go again. I've always said, in my opinion only, not open for discussion, is that you're not going to stop it, in my opinion. Masks will slow it down. And we do wear masks in my family. We are maskers. We are not virulent anti-maskers. And I am not virulent maskers. In other words, if somebody comes over to my house, doesn't wear a mask, okay, I'm okay with it. But if I go to the store and I'm told to wear a mask, I'll wear a mask. I do believe, and without scientific backing, but my own mind tells me, if I have a cold or COVID or whatever I have and I sneeze, a mask keeps it from coming out at 500 miles an hour and crossing the room. Totally agree with that. Water droplets stay inside the mask. However, the virus itself is smaller than most masks that people wear. So if somebody has it, and it is airborne, if it is airborne, that was a question, not a statement, then it's going to go right through my mask. So masks do help. They do slow it down. My wife is Asian, and in Japan, where her relatives are from, she's from Brazil, they wear masks, and it slows it down. So, but I don't think you're going to stop it. I really don't. I think it's just going to run through, and I've always said that I did not and do not believe in shutting down the economy. There are children that are suffering. There are more suicides, more drug dependency, more alcohol abuse, more home violence. It's just was not a good idea. And our kids are suffering. There are kids that cannot get C's in school, let alone get C's out of school. They're latchkey kids, I know, because my second son ran the HOPE program for the local food bank, where we drove to low-income apartment buildings during the summer every day, every weekday, and fed kids whose parents weren't home. So some parents just can't help their kids, and I just feel terrible about that. So I don't think we should have shut down. I don't think we should shut down. I think those that are susceptible should be protected. I think we should wear masks, of course, but I'm kind of in the middle there. So anyway, COVID is spiking again. There are nice rumors and news reports about vaccines, Pfizer, Moderna, there's AstraZeneca, there's some vaccines coming out. So that's good. But, you know, it's going to be a long time before we all get vaccinated. You know, they're saying some people in the lower important levels, you know, the first responders and hospital workers are going to get vaccinated first, and that's a good thing. And then those that are very susceptible and elderly people and people that might have pre-existing conditions, and then the elderly, and then, of course, the last people to get vaccinated are the young people, and that may not happen until March, April, May, June, July. I have no real indication on when that may happen. But it's going to be a while before that happens. I think everybody agrees with that. So, you know, winter's coming, and I don't know what these restaurants are going to do with outside dining. I mean, there was a very fancy restaurant down close to me, and somebody went there, and they said it was freezing. I went to another restaurant outside, a Mexican restaurant here in town, and they had set up a tent with heaters. It wasn't too bad, you know. But if it starts raining, you know, these tents are not really going to be waterproof. So I don't know what these restaurants are going to do. So it's, you know, really a dire situation. The economy, you know, I predicted a long, long time ago, 25% of businesses, small businesses in America are going to go the way of the dodo. Some of them are going to fold and reopen. Some are going to fold and not reopen. Some of them have already folded. I'm sure every one of you know businesses that have said, I quit. I'm not going to do it. And that will, to the chagrin of some, make big corporate America bigger, because they will absorb the customers and even some of the small businesses that are going under. So they're going to be even bigger. And, you know, meanwhile, the contentious election, the gridlock that existed, we had one round of stimulus back in, I don't know, July or whatever it was, or June. We haven't seen another one. And so we're seeing economic numbers that are starting to fall off because the stimulus money is gone. The Paycheck Protection Program is gone. And so we will see, you know, another tough winter, both economically and with COVID, for sure. Okay. So, penned a few articles this week. They were, you know, hopeful type of articles. And I named the show today, it's actually the same name as a Star Wars movie, which was Star Wars A New Hope, and I have a new hope, The Resiliency of America. And first I'd like to cover what I wrote during Thanksgiving, and because I thought it was, got a lot of feedback on this. And what I said was Thanksgiving is a special time of year. It is time, or it was time, since Thanksgiving is now past, for gratitude and appreciation of what we have. Unarguably, 2020 has been a frightful year. Few on the planet would debate such a claim, But in the midst of this tremendous calamity, we can take a moment and, if anything, admit to ourselves that it could have been worse. No doubt, economically, the year 2020 has devastated world economies and comparably without precedent. And although I have not traveled overseas since COVID, I can comfortably say the damage here in the U.S. is similar to almost all other industrialized nations that make up the planet. In the midst of this, I did take a trip to a large strip mall just a couple of weeks ago, and it encouraged my outlook. Simply put, this strip mall was packed. Packed. It was as if nothing had happened. The crowds at the mall were large, and the lines were long. Had patrons not been wearing masks and standing in line separated by 6 feet, because the stores were throttling patrons to a certain amount, you know, per minute or whatever it would be, if it wasn't for that, I would not have known that the world was in one of the worst economic downturns in modern history. I suppose we should be grateful for the stimulus programs that have allowed this semi-recovery, or at least some sense of normalcy. People are spending money. Although many businesses have gone away for good, and they will be followed by many, many more, the consumer, at least some of them, are seemingly in the shopping mood and lining up to spend money. I termed it that they are in the die-hard class. Speaking of particular programs like stimulus programs, food bank programs, the lines there are longer than they've been in recent memory. I know I'm a board of director of one and help the other. As cars and people trail around the block for food assistance, we can give thanks because that's what this article is about. That's what this particular coverage in the show is about today. We can give thanks to those amazing individuals that staff and donate to such worthwhile endeavors such as United Way and your local food bank. I can only say bless their hearts, each and every one of them. The polarization of America due to the political differences that we've seen in the last year has only added to the toxicity of 2020. Indeed, even the subject of whether to wear a face mask or not has added more fuel to the fires of bitterness. Racial tensions, of course, amplified with the Black Lives Matter movement, and it made the anger against each other worse. It seemed, and you'll probably agree, as if the nation was splitting in two. Yet with the conclusion of the election, it appeared, at least to me, perhaps everyone was tiring of the conflict, no matter what side of the various arguments we find ourselves on or found ourselves on. It's almost as if an audible sign of relief was collectively felt by all, or at least, hopefully, felt by many. No matter who was your presidential candidate, I'm sure there are some on both sides of the aisle, whether he won or not, that are glad it is over. Perhaps we're just tired or fed up, or maybe even a little embarrassed. A little embarrassed is a good word for this. All of these emotions are understandable and probably well justified. Whatever we are feeling, whatever you are feeling, we can be grateful that we, as a nation of brothers and sisters, for that's what we are, brothers and sisters, are still together, if not completely healed and bonded as before. I can only sincerely hope your friendships and your families can be rebuilt. Words and actions can be forgiven, and a renewed appreciation can sprout up where there once was much anger and discontent. In this moment, both during Thanksgiving and now after, I am thankful for my family, my friends, my ability to work, and my health and my spirituality. I will be thankful our economy is still functioning somewhat. Racial tensions seem to be easing, in my opinion, and that the reality of exhaustion, usually regarded as a negative, can be looked upon instead as a reason to put down our proverbial pitchforks aimed at one another, put away our differences, and once again call everyone, as in everyone, brothers and sisters, for we are just that. America, it is time to forgive. It is time to accept. It is time to heal. We will beat this. All of this. Our economy will go on. Damaged and bruised, certainly, but it will survive. And hopefully, we, all of us, have learned just a little bit more about others and learned a little bit more about ourselves. We can do better, and I am extremely thankful to know that we will. You're listening to Money Matters. We'll be right back after this brief musical interlude. My name is Mark Cuniberti. And welcome back to this edition of Money Matters. My name's Mark Cuniberti. Show number 317, A New Hope, The Resiliency of America. Well, we covered a little bit of the markets earlier, and we are on the reduced, condensed version of Money Matters due to the COVID shutdown. Station is affected by that as well. So normally I'd be the first and third Thursdays of the month. For an hour, live at noon. But now we're at 29 minutes. Usually we're aired at 6:30. So sorry for the condensed version. Some people like it better, you know. You get quicker shows, more concentration, you know, like concentrated soup. So we are in Show number 317. My name is Mark Cuneverti. Website, moneymanagementradio.com. All the shows are there. Our way of saying thank you for listening to your community radio station. That's au gratin. No charge for there as well. And I hold California insurance license OL34249, and I'm a California Medicare agent. So that gets rid of the disclaimers. Okay, so the resilience of America. We talked prior to the musical interlude about my thankfulness for Thanksgiving and during Thanksgiving and now, but the resiliency of America kind of has a lot to do with being thankful as well. The resilience of Americans continues to astound me. Let's go back in time in the wicked arrival of COVID-19. The market was at an all-time high in February. The Dow had a 38% correction starting about March 1st in 3 weeks. 38% haircut in 3 weeks. Interestingly enough, we were in the beginning of this event, and from the third week of March, it seemed as if this COVID event turned from an imminent threat into the golden opportunity for a nimble investor, right? It was an imminent threat, and now it turned into a golden opportunity if you were nimble enough. While Main Street reeled in a seemingly unending economic death spiral, the average American, Wall Street looked at the threat of COVID in the third week of March through rose-colored glasses. Now, what do I mean by that? Investors in the right place saw their carefully selected stocks rocket upward. And although the initial rally encompassed only a few sectors, remember that? You know, fourth week of March, April, only a few stocks started to rise. As the months ticked by, more and more sectors caught this rally bug. Fast forward to today, and really, it's hard to find a stock that hasn't blasted upwards in stunning fashion. Even the ones that were the get-away-from-home stocks that hadn't moved, the cruise ships and airlines, all of them, almost all of them, have straight-up trajectories in the last weeks or month. Indeed, the optimism, after the first 3 weeks of March in the market, at least for some investors that participated, was palatable. Main Street, however, wasn't so giddy. With ongoing shutdowns and various occupancy restrictions and only one round of stimulus, even so far, many small businesses reeled under bleeding balance sheets brought on by buttless seats and empty store aisles. And although the shutdowns have gone on much longer than anyone has anticipated, right? We didn't even know it would go on 9 months. Consumers, at least some of them, have exhibited an attitude that can be described, at least by me, in no other terms than diehard. I mentioned earlier in the show, I went to a strip mall, jammed. I thought it was the day before Christmas. It was incredible. Initially held at home from the lockdowns, about halfway through this calamity called COVID, necessity, became the mother of invention. America's ingenuity blossomed. We got to look at this because it shows how ingenious Americans are. Some restaurants, needing revenue, initiated drive-through services where they once had none. Municipalities, the cities where restaurants exist, not wanting to see their business base decimated, eased restrictions and allowed on-street dining. Remember, they put up barricades so no car could plow through tables, and they're letting you dine on the street. Some streets are even closed. And they even allowed some restaurants that sell booze to sell it to go, which previously had been a strict no-no. You go into Jack's Steak Restaurant, and you can order a margarita and a steak and take it with you. You know, normally for alcohol rules, you cannot do that. Stores adapted social distancing, and the sticker people ramped up production of the necessary labels and dots to fill the need. Plastic manufacturers, bless their hearts, worked overtime to provide the millions of shields and screens that we needed. Think about that, all the screens and shields. While hand sanitizer, initially in short supply, you couldn't get it, was bottled up in truckloads by the familiar disinfectant companies. You know those companies that make the bleach stuff. But they were joined by inventive liquor producers who cranked out what I call a grade F type of vodka. You've seen that. to fill the need of hand sanitizer that was in short supply and resurrecting some sort of income stream for them. Car dealers started home delivery. Repair shops initiated no-touch drive-through auto services. And meal deliveries kept ride-sharing companies at least somewhat busy when their traveling clients that would normally use them were at home. So they started delivering meals. Even television executives initiated strict testing guidelines so at least some filming could be restarted, and evening hit shows filled their audiences with monitors instead of people. And on the monitors, people, through Zoom or whatever else they used. Even some sports arenas sat cardboard people in key areas where the cameras would be and filled at least some seats of the stadiums and arenas with fall-like human likenesses, cardboard cutouts. Heck, even the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Parade. Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade took place. It was void of the crowds and human balloon anchors, all those people that hold the ropes, right? But they replaced those. They didn't show the crowds. I watched it. They kind of kept the cameras high. They didn't show the crowds. They had enhanced TV coverage. And they used robotic float pullers, which I never really saw because they always kept the cameras a little bit higher than the crowds. A massive undertaking by the pharmaceutical giants of the world. All turned their resources in concert towards one goal. Find a vaccine that works and find it as quick as possible. Indeed, similar to the ramp up production at the beginning of World War II, in a mere 8 months, the gears of much of our economy had been slammed in reverse by COVID, but only America then moved forward in stunning fashion as America was forced to shift gears, and shift gears it did, through calamity after calamity, from devastating wildfires that we saw in the West to a wave of deadly hurricanes in the East and the most contentious election in recent memory. America has risen up and met the challenge. Yes, there will be casualties. There always are in the midst of cataclysmic catastrophes. Yes, even though I can't say the word, there will be casualties in the midst of catastrophe. But we will survive. And like the proverb, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. America has learned much, and we will emerge on the other end of COVID-19 victorious and be that much better for it. That concludes today's show, Money Matters number 317, A New Hope, The Resiliency of America. Remember that discussions in this show should not be construed as investment advice. Consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions. And any indices or stocks that I may have mentioned are not recommendations to buy or sell any of them. I hold California insurance license OL34249 and I'm a Medicare agent for California. Our website is moneymanagementradio.com. Everything there is free. Our way of saying thank you for listening to your community radio station. Need to send me an email? You can do so at the program director at whatever station you're listening to, or news at moneymanagementradio.com. My name is Mark Cuniberti. Thanks for listening. God bless and have a great day. Don't care.